Okay. All right. So I'm Rolf, and I've written some songs. I'm not a prolific songwriter, but I'm old enough that I've written a good number now. So if you write a song every 5 years and you're 100, well, you got a collection of songs there. We're going to talk about and share some songs and see where that goes. I'm really interested in what your process is when you write songs, and I'm eager to talk about what I do. And one thing that just to kind of start with, I'm thinking about what different songs sort of originate for different reasons and in different ways. And some of the decisions we make, or they shape what the song is going to be and how it's going to be. And so I'm gonna start with a tune, just to kick it off. That's the one that I wrote. And the seed for this one was long ago. Well, I've been a socialist for a long time, and it really was bothering me that when people would talk about healthcare years ago, they would always talk about, oh, kind of like the Canadian system, or a single-payer system, or but they would never say socialized medicine. Mm-hmm. And I'm kind of going, what's the deal that people won't use the word socialism or socialist, and we have socialized military, socialized education, socialized highways, socialized, we are socialists. So there we go. I'm almost over. And I'm thinking, and then of course I had learned a lot about Joe McCarthy in the 50s, and so I got this idea in my head about the ghost of Joe McCarthy, because the ghost of Joe McCarthy is still with us, you know, because why won't we say socialized medicine? Because we're afraid of appearing soft on communism. Well, here we are, you know, after all this water on the bridge, and we've seen things start and fail, and you know. So anyway, this is a song that was sort of grew out of that. And after I play it, I'll just say a few more things about it, just about structure, etc. But here we go. The Ghost of Joe McCarthy. I'm going to keep words in front of me just so I.
Do you want one of those little stands? That's a little kickstand.
This will work. I actually do know this trick. Fabric's wearing thin, fear's in the air. The dike is giving in, the bridge in disrepair. The children in the cities are groaning in despair. The ghost of Joe McCarthy doesn't care. Now the Reds are not the threat that they once might have been. Still any talk of socialism is treated like a sin. Now the free hand of the market is about to do us in. And Joe stands in the shadows with a grin. Joe McCarthy's in the shadows with a grin. And there's a choice between the mortgage and another kid in school, or going to the doctor and a decent pair of shoes. Joe stands on the sidelines, taking us for fools, but somehow we're still playing by his rules. Sitting in the union hall and he's writing down your name. He's jacking up your premium, denying you your claim. The ghost of Joe McCarthy is to blame. The ghost of Joe McCarthy is to blame. He's not just in Caracas, Havana, and Peru. He's sitting in the clinic, hanging around the local school. He's tipsy in a tavern on Pennsylvania Avenue. The ghost of Joe McCarthy lives near you. After more than 50 years, you'd think that Joe would be dead and gone, that we've learned a thing or two. The that we have put them in the ground. Things have crumbled at the Kremlin, but now here they're tumbling down. The ghost of Joe McCarthy's still around. The ghost of Joe McCarthy's still around. And at that point, the fiddle comes in and you just do the bust loose with something joyous and like, we're going to just kill this thing with joy. There are plenty of fillers here I could have gotten you on, my daughter, it's just very fun. But anyway, so that's a little song. So just a few things about it that I'll just mention. So at some point I decided, so I start with this idea of the ghost of Joe McCarthy. And most songs I'm really lazy about. I just expect them to write themselves. And if they don't, I just leave them and nothing happens. And this one I actually just sort of chipped away at for months. And just started just working ideas, writing everything I thought of about this whole Cold War thing down, and gathered these ideas, started working, and then decided to put it in a got a verse, and then I built tunes come a lot easier for me than words. It's kind of, we were talking about how words, I feel like there's not much fruit on the tree. I have to just go through like three orchards to find enough. Tunes, I feel like it's like harvest time, that the privilege of just grabbing this music out of these great sounds that physics has given us is just ours, you know? So I put it in a drop D, which sort of gets you in, it limits you to some things. It basically, you're not going to move too far to the tonality. I'm not drop D, it's an open D. And then just started working things. And then one last thing, you know, a blind squirrel, even a blind squirrel occasionally finds an acorn, right? You know, every now and then these words just coincidentally kind of come out if you write enough of them. and then you just go, wow, you know, like, so things have crumbled at the Kremlin. Now here they're tumbling down. It's just like, wow, did that line even come out of me? You know, because you get crumbling and Kremlin, and then you get tumbling and crumbling, and it's just like, oh, okay, I'll take that. Yeah.
The sponsor a demo that you send to Obama.
What's
that? Like, sponsor a demo of that song that you can send to President Obama.
Yeah, I don't know. These just get around town is about it. So, I'm really anxious to hear other things. We have other songwriters in our midst, and then feel free to tell us about kind of the seeds of that song. What started it? Was it? Who are you talking to? I mean, I was talking to the general public in a very safe way, with a little bit of humor and proclamation. But I wasn't showing much of myself there, you know, when I write a love song, it's a whole different thing. So it's a whole different, you know. So if we have time, I'll play one of those later. But if we don't have time and we get to hear more from all of you. So I could play, you know, a half a dozen songs that might be worth listening to, but I'd rather hear from you. So.
You want to borrow your guitar?
You bet.
I guess I've been writing songs maybe about 30 years, at a few keepers, I guess. Let me do you this. This is kind of what I call old number one in the Tom hymnal. It's called Loving Hands, and I'll play it, and then I'll kind of give you a little bit about my process and try to keep it brief because I really want to hear from you as well. Silent like a bell, loving hands would pull the sound from deep within. And if my heart touching bottom of the well, loving hands would take the time to raise it up again. Thank you. Like fading drums, November comes, the rain turns into snow. And the music starts in the dancer's heart, then across the floor she goes. I long to hear that sweeter music that my heart understands. Then moves me with a gentle sway, played by loving hands. And if my heart fell silent like a bell, loving hands would pull the sound from deep within. And if my heart touched bottom of the well, loving hands take me the time to raise it up again. Of enduring love will talk from deep inside, and the heart in tune with the phasing moon awaits the rising tide. Though I would swim in sweet emotion, each day's a grain of sand. As I recall, each one will fall through the grace of loving hands. And if my heart fell silent like a bell, loving hands would pull the sound from deep within. And if my heart touched bottom of the well, loving hands would take me time to raise it up again. Loving hands take me the time to raise it up again. When I wrote that song, I carried the verse around my billfold, a piece of paper, for about a year and a half. And the verses came after I was a probation officer for 20 years, and I had a guy on my caseload that came on for welfare fraud. And he came into my office the first time. He was living with AIDS. He weighed maybe about 90 pounds, dripping wet. And he said, "I'm in here because I committed welfare fraud." And I said, "Wow, I thought ripping off the government was community service." But anyway, I got to be friends with him. His name was James Loft, and he was a brilliant musician. He was in his late 20s, and he played piano, and he wrote really amazing music. And I had arranged for him to go to guitar camp, but he took sick. And when I came back from guitar camp, he was in his hospital. I went to see him, and he drew his last breath while I was there. And so, probably a couple days after that, it was after an AA meeting. I'd been sober about 27 years, and I was sitting around with a couple of friends that were obviously interested in each other, so I took a napkin out of the dispenser at Tony's Coffee Shop in Bellingham, and I started writing down the verses to Loving Hands. So that's where the song came from. And so in my process is, here's what I know about the muse. She can be A and B mused at the same time, and sometimes you never know when that process is going to take you in one direction or another. But here's what I do I try to keep notebooks. I try to use pencil because you can erase things across your room a little easier, and I keep a little notebook around. And I do use rhyming dictionary occasionally. The one I've been using in recent years is called the New American Rhyming Dictionary. And when I get stuck in I really am sort of a big fan of rhymes at this point. And I've had so many good mentors in my life, from a lot of Lindas, Linda Allen, Linda Waterfall, one of my best friends, Bob Frankie, a songwriter from back east, and so many different, over 30 years of going to guitar camp, so many wonderful guitar teachers. But I think the process is keep writing and remember that you have to rewrite to get to that point where your heart is settled in on a song. And then sing it to yourself and then sing it to others. And that's sort of my whole approach.
Yeah. I love the imagery of the well in that song.
And that went so well with the music. The bell, where it was an ascending line on the guitar, and the well, the descending line on the guitar, was really cool.
Purely accident, I can assure you.
Accidental genius.
Yeah, and the fact that the chorus was so universal, you know.
Yeah.
The fact you were wanting to sing along.
We were singing it. Yeah.
I should encourage it.
Yeah.
It's been around. It's been sung at weddings and funerals, and mostly when I'm fabulous and bad. But, but thank you. Thank you for letting me share it with you.
Well, could I do a tune? I was telling Rolf about, this is interesting about this song, is that I wrote it when my little daughter Elsie was just born. We pulled out this old rocking chair that I'd inherited from the basement. It came up to the nursery, and I'm sitting, you know, and it's like all good moms and dads will sit in that rocking chair with their baby, rocking her to sleep, and this song came. And it's the first song that I ever wrote without a pencil and a guitar at hand, you know, to catch all those notes and everything. So, but it just evolved over weeks, you know. It's like many, many verses that sort of have gone off into the smoke. But eventually I sat down and wrote it down. And the impetus for the song was that I had sort of noticed this time with this child in this rocking chair that I was singing the same songs that I always sing to babies in rocking chairs. And it came into my head that I might have learned those songs in that very rocking chair from my grandmother. And so, because I was singing Swing Low, Sweet Chariot, that was just sort of one of my standard, it's on my set list when I'm in the rocking chair. So this song came out of it. The one thing that I did later as I was actually writing is the bridge sort of popped out at that point and I wrote it with a pencil. But the interesting thing about this is I call it Elsie's Waltz. And whenever, even today, if she is having trouble getting to sleep, she'll say, "Will you sing me the rocking chair song?" And I'll say, "Elsie's Waltz," and she'll say, "Yeah, the rocking chair song." And so she's got her own version of it already going on. So.
And how old is she now?
She's 7. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So when she's, you know, 50 and singing to some kid and calling it the rocking chair song, I won't be there to defend myself. I just recently put in D too because I started playing the fiddle. That's a whole other story. So if I mess up the chords, that's what that's all about. On the banks of the river Ohio, where the skies are so blue and so fair, stood an old wooden house and an old wooden porch and my grandmother's old rocking chair. She sang me a song about Jesus, chariots swing low through the air, safe from all harm in my grandmother's arms, in that old wooden rocking chair. Came from Ireland on an old tramp steamer, all the way from Sweet County Clare, where her father had made it with his own two hands, a few tools and a song and a prayer. And he sang her a song about Jesus, chariots swing low through the air, safe from all harm in her daddy's strong arms, in that old wooden rocking chair. Kentucky, wherever I wander and roam, pretty blue skies, mama's cherry pies, all of the old folks at home. Swing low, sweet chariot, wherever I wander and roam. Chariot coming to carry me home. was going home to be with Jesus. On the streets paved with gold in the air. Her life is so grand, way off in glory land, that she's washed all the gray from her hair. Now she's singing songs to Jesus. Chariots swing low through the air. Safe from all harm in her dear Savior's arms, with hardly a worry or a care. Now I sing you this song, my little darling, with your eyes so blue and so fair. If you listen real close, you'll hear your great-grandma's voice calling round this old rocking chair. And we'll sing you a song about Jesus. Chariots swing low through the air. Safe from all harm, your daddy. Not asleep at that point. I go right into Swing Low Sweet Chariot and sing that for another 5 minutes. And it's sure to put her right out. So.
Can I go now?
Yes.
Okay.
Do you want to sit? Do you need an instrument?
I can't play.
Oh, okay.
But if someone could play guitar in E.
In E.
Yeah, but it's just the three chords, three basic chords. And this is a song I wrote. Thank you. I wrote it for my daughter for Christmas. She had a baby last April, and after 3 months had to go back to work. And it was so hard, just so hard for her, just horribly hard. And she has been breastfeeding. And so I started watching him. I stopped my job and watched him every day in August that month. And I've been watching him since. 2 days a week. And anyway, a bottle of Mama's Love came to me as I was feeding him.
A bottle
of what? Of Mama's Love.
Oh, nice.
Wow. And I thought, that's got to be, you know, a country western song. Well, I could not for the life of me write a country western song. I'm folky. So this is what came out. So could you strum it? I'm sitting. Sitting in a rocking chair.
Does that work? Mm-hmm. That chord?
I'm sitting in a rocking chair. Sitting in a rocking chair. Watching you drink, watching you suck from a bottle of your mama's love. A bottle of mama's love. A bottle of mama's love. Watching you drink, watching you suck from a bottle of mama's love. That's a chorus. Come on. Every morning when she wakes up, and two more times a day, she hooks herself up to a silly machine that starts to pump away. Filling up a jar, then filling another jar. Just so when she's away at work, you'll have a bottle of her love. Bottle of mama's love, a bottle of mama's love. Watching you drink, watching you suck from a bottle of mama's love. Times have changed a whole lot. Most moms have to work now, and it takes a huge commitment to act like a dairy cow. She loves so much that she makes sure you have the very best food, so that when you grow up, you'll be a healthy dude. A bottle of mama's love, a bottle of mama's love. Watching you drink, watching you suck from a bottle of mama's love. Cries most every day as she goes to work, but it helps her to know your grandma's around and loves you like she loves her. So I'm sitting in a rocking chair, sitting in a rocking chair, watching you drink, watching you sup from the bottle of your mama's love. Bottle of mama's love, a bottle of mama's love. Watching you drink, watching you sup from the bottle of mama's love. My son played guitar and recorded it at his house in January. My daughter posted it on Facebook. It's all over the place. It's really filling a need. About filling a need.
So, how did you write it? Melody first or the line first?
Well, first feeding him a lot and then thinking about it, you know, and also washing the pumping equipment and all that stuff. And then thinking as I was, you know, you're drinking a bottle of your mama's love, you know, while she's at work. And so that line stuck with me. And I was outside working in the yard, and I put the phone in my pocket with the recording on and just started thinking of verses and ideas, and it just kind of came together over the course of, I started in October, so it was ready by December. And there's still one little part I want to tweak.
Yeah. So you're recording yourself sort of singing along, sort of doing this?
Yeah, I was really glad I did, because by the time Christmas came around, I had been singing Christmas carols, and like the melody
had
morphed.
Yeah.
So I was so glad I had to go back to
the original thoughts.
The original, yeah. First the words, then the melody.
I've been using my phone to record lately too, just snippets, you know, and I found that I always, and this was the first song that I ever did without a guitar, but since then I've tried it a few more times, but I found now that I can almost get away without a pencil. I'll just record on my phone little snippets, and I feel confident that they're there, they won't get away from me. So it's just been a new tool that I've used.
It's a great tool. Before that, I used to use answering machine.
Yeah.
I just call myself. And I didn't have anything else.
Basically, right? Because you have to rely on nobody being calls.
Well, I'll share a little bit. I just love hearing other people talk about the process, because we all have our own way of doing it. Like, you're very much a tune first person. I'm very much a lyrics person first. You know, I first get the story and start writing, usually come up with some, at least the chorus or just some ideas. So I keep thinking, because I listen to people and then I think, well, maybe this song and maybe that song. But I've written a lot of songs and I've been doing it for many, many years. So here's one that I consider one of the more autobiographical songs that I sing, which is rare, because most of my writing tends to be around social issues. It tends to be around history. And those have been kind of what moves me to write. A scattering of love songs, but not very many, because there's so many people out there doing that really well. So I've kind of carved out a different niche. A lot of it's been about Washington history, stories. That's what inspires me. Sometimes it's a headline, you know, that will get me going. I don't know what got me going on this one, but tells a bit of the story. I hope I remember all the words. In planning this thing, the one thing I didn't seem to have time to do was rehearse myself. Sometimes I love the road. Sometimes I'm just tired. I can feel like God's own chosen, then long for a nice warm fire. Sometimes I'm full of passion for the things that I believe. Sometimes I wonder what ever happened to that young girl. Also a little bit higher.
Production happening this week on Thursday that I've been working on for years up here, trying to finish it. It's called The Daughters of Lilith. And the one character is, Lilith is Adam's first wife, right, according to Midrash tradition. And she has really been spinning me around for 20 years. I've been trying to write that song. I got the lyrics and I come up with tunes real easily, but not this one. And I think it's Lilith. So anyway, I think I have her caged now enough to do it on Thursday.
Oh, wow.
But 20 years. And that's some songs are just like that. Yeah. And then others, a song that I wrote called I Believe That Peace Will Come, came to me in probably a half an hour, maybe an hour. It just was, it was there. And so there's just no timeline for that. It's really hard. And I think I may speak for a lot of songwriters and when I say that I don't feel like I write the songs, I feel like I write them down. Mm-hmm. I don't remember who was the famous, maybe Tom Paxton said that, but that's really been my experience, that it really is a matter of clearing the way somewhat and allowing the creativity to come, and then when it starts coming and when that flow starts, to not go wash the dishes or run errands or all the other things that we want to do when their creative flow comes, and it's like, this is going to take a while, you know? And you just start, all the distractions come in and all the things that want to pull you away from it, and then just being able to stick to it and carve out the time to honor the time that it does take. And songwriting is also a craft. I really believe that I do think anybody can write a song. And I also think, like, you know, everybody could do all kinds of things, but if you want to do them well, there are techniques, there are crafts, and I do respect the craft of songwriting as well. So, just a word for that.
Yeah.
Question?
Sure.
Sure. I know you belong at different times to different songwriter groups, where you guys bounce ideas off of each other. How helpful has that been for you?
Oh, very. Yeah, at different times. I haven't been in a songwriter group now for a while, but they've been very, very useful. Just to have, I think you have, with your baby songs, you have to be really careful, just like with any creative endeavor, as to who you're going to take input from. Because there are, particularly if they happen to be blocked songwriters or would like to be songwriters or not very good songwriters, they may be very critical in ways that are not helpful to you in a song that's still unformed. So I have my circle of people I really trust, one of them being my husband, that I will take it to. And usually the question is, am I being clear here? I have a story I'm trying to tell. And I want to be clear with the story, with the intent that I have here. And it may be so wrapped up in my own psyche that I can't tell if I'm being clear. And to me, the most important thing that keeps me interested in a song is I hear the story, I hear it clearly. It's not like a poem. A poem, you kind of can sit back and you read it once, and you'll read it again, and you have time to nurture it and really get everything out of it. When it's a song, you've got one shot, you know, and so you want people to get that story, get the feeling that you're trying to portray. So I'm very reliant on other people. That's why I'm terrified of this project I'm about to do on Thursday, because I haven't had a time, I haven't had time to put it out to my critics, you know. So it's going to be a work in progress, and we'll see what happens. But yeah, I really depend on critics and feedback. And I'm really open to it, but I'm also very careful who I invite into that critic circle. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Yeah. You know, there are some poetic forms that, I mean, that whole bit about having one shot, and this is something about form, you know, that form, you know, if you lock yourself into an 8-7, 8-7 syllable pattern, or if you lock yourself into, you know, you could see it as locking yourself into. But you could also see it as okay, we've set boundaries within which we can be free. Sort of like the child that tests the boundaries until you tell them, no, you can't go there. And then they know, okay, I can be okay within this. And there are some poetic forms where it's just mandated. You're going to repeat a line at certain points in different verses. And I've never really thought about that as a way to kind of sort of overcome that fact that and one of the strengths of those poems is that people hear that line over, and it's not urgent that once they've heard a few verses, the listener relaxes because they know they're going to get it again, and then they can. And so I've never thought about using that form to write songs. Let's see, we can stay here.
You guys
right?
Stay. I'm just on
just the fire brigade needs
fire
to go.
Brigade.
You
so
all can stay.
We stay
I'm
here.
Not
we
fire
just
brigade. I'm
pay our attention.
I actually. Okay.
Go ahead.
So far, anyway. Almost always some kind of.
I didn't think I had one, and I was literally sitting here, and I've been kind of resisting this song for a couple of years because I didn't like the way it was not resolving, and it just kind of clawed out of me while we were sitting here. I don't know if anybody saw me just crying. I don't know if I can get through this, but I want to try.
Yeah.
It's feeling.
Sure. Yeah.
We spent a couple years in West Virginia in the coal fields representing folks who were getting sued by Massey for putting their bodies between the huge equipment that they used to do mountaintop removal and the mountains. And I had started kind of steeped in that tradition for a long time, and this kind of
it's okay, it's the person on the loudspeaker is standing right outside our
room.
Okay.
So of all the things in my life, a lot of what we do in our work, we hear and see things we wish we hadn't. But the worst for me was forcing Massey to let us do a site inspection at the second largest mountaintop removal site in West Virginia. And it's miles
You've got this gorgeous fall foliage that just stops. And there's mileage of moonscape. They blow up the mountains and then dump them into the streams to level it out to get to the cold sea and leave basically a wasteland for miles and miles. It looks like they fought a battle against the earth and won. So this is from the perspective of one of the miners who just throws up his hands and walks away, which was happening a lot when we were there. Gonna have a hard time doing it.
That's what I was thinking with the outside. Yeah.
Don't tell the mountains that I'm gone. Don't tell the mountains that I'm gone. For a little coal to sell, we blow the mountains straight to hell. Don't tell the mountains that I'm gone. Don't tell the river that I'm gone. Don't tell the river that I'm gone. When the dragline big as sin, we dump that mountain in. Don't tell the river that I'm gone. Don't tell the people that I'm gone. Don't you tell the people that I'm gone. For a few more days' pay, we knock their homestead down to stay. Don't tell the people that I'm gone. Don't tell the company that I'm gone. Don't you tell the company that I'm gone. Where I stand by and sell, Massey can go to hell. Don't tell the company that I'm gone. Don't you tell the earth that I'm gone. Don't you tell the earth that I'm gone. From where these trees still stand, swear I'll do the best I can, so the earth will know me when I'm gone.
Did that ending just come to you?
Yeah, it was that last verse.
Yeah,
that
just wraps really nicely.
Yeah. Oh, thank you.
Yes, fabulous.
It's a good feeling to find that last missing piece to a song that has sort of been eluding you for a while. Linda was kind of talking about that. Her 20-year project, maybe.
Yeah.
But yeah, maybe we've all had tunes that are like that. That yeah. You sort of have two-thirds of it down and written, and it's like that just last verse to round it out won't quite come, you know?
Yeah.
I've written a short song just since we were up here in January, February, beginning of Lent. And it was just such a beautiful, peaceful week. The music was just incredible that whole week. Got home, and within a few days, this song had just sort of tumbled out one morning while I was practicing my guitar. And it's about 2 weeks of polishing it, so it's really sort of fresh and raw, and I'm not quite sure where it's heading, but this song, I'm sort of, not quite saying Holden inspired it, but Holden certainly informed this song quite a bit. I'm calling it For Heaven's Sake at this point.
His hand held fast.
Song wanting to come out, and it was literally from that was not the note I was wanting to play, but it happened, and then it's like, well, there's an inspiration for a song right there. That was what I was trying to do, but so sometimes, you know, this is the funniest little trigger will happen, and next thing I knew, I was sort of putting some words to it, and this one just came out. Yeah.
Well, I have a song that the deadline, the somebody was talking about a deadline. Right. Well, so you know, I'm the base 10 system is an enemy of mine, and so at the 10-year anniversary. Okay, better write a song, 15, you know, and, you know, when I was 20 years old, I could write love songs just like that, because, like, I thought I knew everything, and I didn't know anything about love, right? And now, the older I got, and the more I realized, the more it just seemed like, how do you write about this, you know, and so I was really determined for the 20th anniversary to write a love song, and, but this one, it still didn't happen. So, but the 25th anniversary, I think, and honestly, it was a result of brokenness. You know, that we just had just awful things happen in our family with one of our kids, but it really made me realize. Well, one, it makes you lean on what you can count on, and it made me realize kind of the what I knew, which was my love for my wife Karen, and that, but at some points that's about all I knew, you know. I mean, I know my love for my kids, but you know, it's just like, and so that was sort of the kernel for this love song that then just jumped out with this 25-year trying to write a love song. Because I'd written for the old girlfriends before that. Where's my love song? You know what I mean? That's why we said it, but you know, I knew it was there.
It's hovering up there.
And, so this is the love song, and it's kind of comes. But as you know, as I'll just own my own egocentricity that a love song for her just becomes very autobiographical.
Sure.
You know, which is kind of what it is. It's my love song for her. So, and it's a song that is more intended for her to hear and understand. But I think it pretty much can be understood by you guys. But that's not the important part of it. But this is it. Anyway, so. Long ago when I first saw you, I was lost along the way. It really didn't matter, I thought I'd figure it out someday. now these many years later, I know less than I did then. All I really know now is that I'll love you till the end. You're all I know, you're all I know. Winds keep blowing to and fro. Don't know which way they will blow. You're all I know. When our girls were little babies, I knew just what I should do. Feed them when they're hungry, hold them when they're blue. Now it's getting complicated, not as simple as before. I don't know much about being a daddy, but I'm still knocking at your door. You're all I know, you're all I know. Winds keep blowing to and fro, through the highs and through the lows. You're all I know. Your coffee in the morning, I know your feet are cold at night. I know that you're afraid of lightning. I know that you're my favorite sight. I know you're strong, I know you're tender. I know I don't know you that well. When it comes to tales of true love, you're the story I will tell. You're all I know, you're all I know. Winds keep blowing to and fro, don't know which way they'll go. You're all I know, you're all I know. The river ebbs, the river flows. Where you're going, I will go. You're all I know.
John Prime-ness to it, I thought.
Not only influence that.
That's just a quickly kind of a closure.
So before he plays, thank you everybody. I would love to do this three more times just to hear more from you and
maybe a late night gathering tonight where we just sit around and drink things.
That would be great. I'll be around after the band scramble.
This will be short and sweet. It's sort of feels this place makes me think about the song. It's about a gold country band that toured the little small towns in the South that grew up in. It's called Slow the Tempo Down, Charlie. People around this town have lived here a while. They've been friends long enough to say hello with a smile. And though it feels like coming home, we're still weeks away. Me and this country band have come here to play. Last week one for the encore, and let's soften the pace and pass my hat to the crowd field while you tune up your bass. And slow the tempo down, Charlie, I'll take the mic from the stand. And say the best for the last, sit on home hand in hand. Sorry to hear Fred left us last year, but it's sure good to see your face, your smile is still clear. And I remember how he'd watch you across this ballroom. Would you dance with an old friend in the light of this moon? And play a sweet one for the encore, and let's soften the pace. And pass my hat to the crowd while you tune up your bass. And slow the tempo down, Charlie, I'll take the mic from the stand. And save the best for the last, some home hand in hand. Songs have kept me going, and I'm still amazed at the new faces mixed with those mellowed with days. And oh, for 30 odd years I've rolled over this land. Me and old Charlie and the rest of the band. Play a sweet one for the encore, and let's soften the pace. And pass my hat to the crowd while you tune up your bass. Slow the tempo down, Charlie, I'll take the mic from the stand. We'll save the best for the last, sit on hand in hand. Best for the last, sit alone, hand in hand.
Hi, is that your song?
Yeah, I wrote that, I don't know, sometime back in the 80s.
That's a cool song.
There's a...
Thanks, everybody.